The sound of a kitchen backsplash failing isn't a bang or a snap. It's a slow, rhythmic peeling. The sound of expensive plastic or thin stone losing its grip on the wall in the middle of the night. You walk into the kitchen for a glass of water, flip the light, and see a 3-foot section of your new project sagging like a wet cardboard box, exposing a sticky, fuzzy mess of drywall paper and dust. Or worse, you don't see the failure until it's too late. You notice a gap behind the stove where the heat has warped the edge, and by the time you try to press it back down, the adhesive is contaminated with cooking grease. Once that glue is fouled, it's over. You can press it, tape it, or pray over it, but that tile is never staying home again. People think peel and stick is the shortcut, the easy button for a Saturday afternoon, and it can be. But if you treat it like a giant sticker instead of a construction material, you are just prepping a very long, very annoying cleanup job for your future self. We're going to make sure that doesn't happen. We're going to talk about why these things fall off, how to prep a wall so it sticks until the house comes down, and how to handle the corners and outlets without losing your mind. Right now, I want you to reach into your junk drawer or your tool bag and find a single, ordinary wooden clothespin. Just one. Toss it on the counter. It's going to look pretty useless sitting there while we're dealing with laser levels and utility knives, but by the time we get to the tricky cuts around the range hood, you're going to be glad you have it. It's the difference between a clean finish and a jagged edge that catches the light every time you walk into the room. The biggest mistake people make with this job happens before they even open the box. They look at their painted kitchen wall and think it's clean because it looks clean. It isn't. Kitchen walls are covered in a microscopic film of vaporized bacon fat, dish soap residue, and humidity. If you try to stick a high-tack adhesive to a layer of grease, you aren't bonding to the wall, you're bonding to the grease. When the grease eventually shifts or the house warms up, the whole thing slides. You have to strip that wall back to its original sole. I'm talking about a heavy-duty degreaser or a TSP substitute. When you wipe that wall down, you should feel the rag start to grab. If the rag slides smoothly, the wall is still dirty. You want that surface to be dull, bone dry, and slightly tacky to the touch. I learned this the hard way about 12 years back. I was doing a quick refresh on a rental property, and I was in a rush to get the keys handed over. I wiped the walls with a damp paper towel, waited 5 minutes, and started slapping tiles up. They looked incredible. I felt like a genius. 3 days later, the tenant called. The humidity from the first pot of pasta they boiled had turned the backsplash into a literal waterfall. The tiles hadn't bonded to the paint. They had bonded to a thin layer of orange-scented cleaning wax the previous tenant had used to make the kitchen shine. I spent 8 hours scraping gray goo off the drywall with a putty knife, ruining the wall and the tiles in the process. I had to skin coat the entire kitchen before I could even think about starting over. That's the tax you pay for skipping the prep. Before you pull the backing off your first tile, you need to establish a level line. Never ever trust your countertops or your cabinets to be level. If you start your first row by sitting it flush against the counter, and that counter drops 1/8 of an inch over 4 feet, by the time you get to the end of the wall, your pattern is going to look like it's sliding into the sink. You'll have a wedge-shaped gap at the top that no amount of trim can hide. Take a long level, or better yet, a laser level, and find the lowest point of your countertop. Mark a line about 1/4 inch above that point and carry it across the whole wall. This is your true line. Everything you do from here on out builds off this mark. When you hold that first tile in your hand, don't just look at the front. Feel the weight of it. Feel the flexibility. Peel and stick tiles are usually a composite of vinyl, resin, or very thin metal. They react to temperature. If you just brought them in from a cold garage or a hot truck, let them sit in the kitchen for 24 hours. If they're cold when you stick them, they will expand as they warm up, causing the seams to peak or buckle. If they're hot, they'll shrink and leave you with ugly white lines of drywall showing between every sheet. Let's talk about the first click of the job. It's the sound of the utility knife cutting through the backing. When you make your first cut to fit a tile into a corner, you shouldn't be sawing at it. If you have to saw, your blade is dull. A fresh blade should glide through the material with a consistent hushed hiss. You'll feel a slight vibration in the handle as the steel parts the vinyl. If it starts to jaggedly tear, or if you feel the blade wandering off your straight edge, stop immediately. Change the blade. You'll go through 5 or 6 blades on a standard kitchen, and that's perfectly normal. Once you've got your level line and your tiles are acclimated, it's time for the point of no return. Most of these adhesives are pressure sensitive. That means they don't really reach full strength until you mash them into the wall. When you set that first tile, align the top edge with your level line and let the bottom hang slightly. Press from the center outward. You should hear a faint crackling sound. That's the air being pushed out from behind the adhesive. If you hear a pop or see a bubble, you've trapped air. You have to peel it back carefully. Or if it's too late, prick the bubble with a pin and flatten it. This is where your sensory check comes in. Run your flat palm over the tile. It should feel like it's part of the wall, not something floating on top of it. If you press on a corner and it feels squishy or has a tiny bit of bounce, it hasn't grabbed. You need to apply more pressure. I like to use a small rubber J-roller for this. You can hear the difference when the bond is right. The sound of the roller changes from a hollow thud to a solid, dense hum as the air gaps disappear. As you move along the wall, you're going to hit an outlet. This is where most people start swearing. They try to measure the outlet, transfer those measurements to the tile, and cut a hole in the middle of the sheet. It almost never works perfectly. Instead, take the plastic cover off the outlet. You'll see the metal ears of the outlet sitting against the drywall. You want your tile to tuck just slightly under those ears, but stay clear of the actual screw holes. Here is where that clothespin comes into play. When you're trying to mark a cut around a complex shape, like a window casing or a weirdly placed outlet, you often need to hold the tile in place without actually sticking it down. If you peel the backing, you're committed. If you don't peel it, the tile is too thick to sit flush for an accurate mark. Take your clothespin and clip it to the very edge of the tile you're fitting. Now use that clothespin as a handle and a spacer. You can dry fit the piece against the neighboring tile, holding it steady while you scribe your line with a pencil. The clothespin gives you leverage to hold the tile exactly where it needs to be, without your fingers getting in the way of your sight line. It also works as a great depth gauge. If you're trying to trim the tile to match a specific thickness. If you're working behind a stove, safety becomes the priority. Most peel and stick products are heat resistant, but they aren't fireproof. Check the manufacturer's specs. Usually, you need a few inches of clearance from an open flame or a high heat burner. If your stove has a back guard, you're fine. If it's a flat top slide in, you need to be careful. If you smell something sweet or chemical the first time you boil water after the install, that's the adhesive off-gassing. It usually stops after a few days, but if the tile starts to discolor or curl, you're too close to the heat. About halfway through the job, take a step back. Look at your seams. In the light of the afternoon sun, those seams should be invisible. If you see a shadow line, your tiles are either overlapping by a hair or they aren't pushed tight enough together. This is a common point of frustration. I remember doing a backsplash in a tiny bathroom where I got cocky. I thought I could eyeball the vertical seams. By the time I hit the corner, I was out of plumb by almost half an inch. The whole wall looked like it was leaning. I had to rip the last four columns off. Because I'd used a high-tack tile, it took the top layer of drywall with it. I ended up having to patch, prime, and wait 2 days for the paint to cure before I could finish a 2-hour job. The lesson? Check your level every 3 feet. Just because you started level doesn't mean you're staying level. When you reach a corner where two walls meet, don't try to wrap a single tile around the bend. Vinyl and resin don't like to hold a 90-degree angle under tension. Eventually, that spring in the material will pull the edges away from the wall. Instead, cut the tile so it ends exactly in the corner. Then, start the next wall with a fresh edge butting right up against it. This creates a butt joint. If you have a tiny gap there, don't worry. A thin bead of color-matched silicone caulk will hide it and make the whole thing look like a professional stone install. Speaking of caulk, that is the secret weapon of the peel-and-stick world. If you leave the edges raw where the tile meets the countertop, water is going to get in there. When you wipe down your counters, that moisture will wick up behind the tile. Within 6 months, the bottom row will start to pucker. Run a clean, thin bead of silicone along the bottom edge and where the tile meets the underside of your cabinets. You'll know you've done it right by the knock test. Walk up to the finished wall and wrap your knuckles against the tiles. It should sound solid, like you're knocking on a piece of oak. If you hear a clack or a hollow tick, you've got a loose spot. Take your hairdryer, heat that spot up for about 30 seconds to soften the glue, and then use your roller or the heel of your hand to mash it home. The final result should feel seamless. When you run your fingers across the surface, you shouldn't feel any steps between tiles. It should be one continuous rugged surface. If you've used the textured variety, the grout lines in the plastic should line up perfectly, creating the optical illusion of a heavy handset masonry job. The real test, though, is the morning after. Come back into the kitchen when the house is quiet and the temperature has dropped. Look at the edges. If everything is still tight, if no corners have winged out, and if the smell of the adhesive has faded into the background, you've won. You've successfully cheated the system and gotten a high-end look without the wet saw and the grout haze. This kind of work is all about the unseen steps. It's the cleaning you did that nobody sees. It's the level line that gets covered up. It's the clothespin you used to hold a scrap while you trimmed a weird notch around a windowsill. It's easy to get impatient when the finish line is so close. But in the world of adhesives, patience is the only thing that actually sticks. Before you pack up your tools and toss that empty tile box, take a look at the rest of your space. What's the thing in your house that's fighting you right now? Maybe it's not a backsplash.
Maybe it's a door that won't latch unless you lift the handle. Or a faucet that has developed a rhythmic drip that you've started to tune out.
Whatever that stuck project is, don't let it sit until it becomes a catastrophe. There's a way to fix it that doesn't involve tearing the whole house down.
You just have to be willing to look at the prep work before you worry about the finish.
What's the job you've been putting off because you're afraid one wrong move will make it worse? Reach out and let me know. We'll figure out the right way to move forward.